else. And whose favourite book is Numbers? Did you understand that? Yeah, I sat there chuckling as reading it, really. I think, whatever's all that about, really? I think, you know, just thinking, if I was set, I mean, being a bloke, reading instructions isn't the best thing, really. So you imagine being given a set of instructions like that, you're just thinking, help. I'll tell you what, you do it, I'll watch, and then I'll follow the next day, okay? Bear it, and that's it. But before I go into the little bit, I want to just talk a little bit about, because it was mentioned to me that you will mention about reach, won't you? Well, I thought, well, I can do. I didn't think about it, but I will do. So I'll only do this very, very briefly, because I really feel that, well, it's already gone 11 o'clock, so we'll be here all day. And I bet you can't wait for your dinner, hey? I'm going to pop these down here, and I'll explain those in a moment. If we just go to that little, go to my presentation, if it isn't there already, Kathy. Sorry, I haven't looked. Oh, brilliant. So who we've helped in 2022, I'll come down here really just so I can see it as well. But we'll go on to the next slide, because as you know, with the cost of living crisis, it has been really tricky and really difficult for many families. Interestingly enough, we're suspecting at the moment that people are not paying their gas and electricity bills because gas and electricity companies are not pursuing their creditors at the moment. So we don't know what that's going to mean as later on in the summer. But certainly, what we found last year in 2022 is the number of families needing help has really shot up, unfortunately. So you'll see in there, that's on the, you can all see that one, 39% increase. By the way, I've got all this on a bit of paper here, and I've got a story about someone who's been helped, and I'll leave these on the front. But we'll go to the next slide. Because often a lot of people get involved with the food bank and we have lots of volunteers there. This was all prepared for the volunteer event that we had in January. But we'll have some of these figures, and these are early figures, so they're not been verified yet. But anyway, we know it's high. Ironically, we fed 2,022 people through the food bank in 2022, so it's an easy number to remember, unfortunately. And we've never fed 2,000 people in a year before. So it's definitely increased. But the biggest increase is 31% increase in the number of children that are fed. It really is very tricky for families out there. And debt is definitely the one that's going to be rising at the moment. And I think that is the case, you know. So we are doing what we can to try and make a difference. But I won't go into all of that now. I could give you loads of things and get really excited about the things that we're planning in the future. Some of the schools work, some of the budgeting work and things like that. But we'll go on to the next one. Oh, this is just, because it's on the document, and like I say, this is, don't forget, this was prepared for volunteers. So we really wanted to encourage the volunteers who'd actually been given. But I'd like to encourage you, because you are part of this. Every bit of food that you donate, every finance, every pound it's given, it basically is providing a financial gain for families. It almost costs about a pound per pound. So it's costing around about that sort of figure to run Reach in a year. But that's what we're getting back for families. So for some families, they've never claimed a particular benefit. My colleague Anne, who lives in Linton, jokingly said that she thinks that the doctor's surgery are getting her to go to every single older person in Linton to see if they qualify for attendance allowance. By the way, she's not alive anymore, but the Queen would have qualified for attendance allowance. In other words, it's not means tested. It's, you know, if you have got an illness and you are of a pensionable age, you would qualify for attendance allowance. And it makes a massive difference. I said this to my mother-in-law before she died, so around about the Christmas time. And so she applied, or Anne did it for her, my colleague, and she got attendance allowance. She only got it for 3 weeks before she died, but she got attendance allowance. Makes a massive difference. Attendance allowance for an older person at the moment means that they can put the heating on instead of not. So, you know, there is help out there. And I think it was something like £14 billion in 2020 that wasn't claimed. I could be wrong on my figures there, but it could be 20 billion. But let's go with 14. Let's err on the side of caution. It's massive that wasn't claimed in benefits, which people are entitled to and could actually claim. So, you know, this is what we do. We try and get money back, maximise people's incomes so they don't have to have a food box. As lovely as packing food boxes are, we'd rather they didn't. We'd rather that the people had enough money to actually live on and buy their own food. It's much more dignifying too. Anyway, let's move on from that. I think that's the... Oh, if you want to stay in touch... And by the way, just as I say, that document there, it's got the figures because obviously I've tried to rush through them. And we will be having an impact report coming out very soon, which will have some more stories and about a little bit of future plans and things like that. But we've got a lot going on at the moment, so it's a little bit delayed. but anyway, let's get on with what I really want to talk to you about this morning. By the way, I really want to talk to you about reach, but I'm conscious of time because I felt that I really do believe that God's got something for you, obviously, but it really has. We'll go to my... Here we go. Hopefully, I indicated a little bit about what we were talking about just in there, about learning to wait well. I've just come through a process of selling property, which has taken forever. I have not moved, I haven't sold property for 25 years. I don't understand the processes and I don't understand. And it would be great if, and I certainly will be mentioning that to solicitors and to the estate agents, it would have been nice to have just a little bit of a, almost like a one-page document of what happens next. That would have been good because I had no idea. And they make assumptions. And so when you get in touch with them and they say, and I say something like, oh, where are we at now? Oh, we're at a situation where, oh, well, we're just waiting for inquiries, you know, from the buyer solicitor. Inquiries? What are inquiries when they're at home? No one's told me what an inquiry is. Do I need to be worried? Do I need to do anything about that? Or, oh, no, you don't need to do anything. Been nice to have known. Just tell me. It would have just been nice to have had it. Not chapter and verse. And you know, they said we won't hear for 3 months. I didn't bother them for 3 months. But when they didn't contact me in 3 months, I thought, am I supposed to be contacting them or are they supposed to be contacting me? It's a little bit, and so it is about waiting well, but sometimes we need a little bit of help. And it's something that I'm looking at, which I shall be mentioning next week to the team, about how we help people when they're waiting to be seen, certainly for debt. There's nothing worse than just waiting and not knowing when you're next in the queue. If you'd rung up the doctors and you say, your number, you know, number 7 in the queue, you know, and then you wait a couple of minutes and then it says, you are number 6 in the queue. What I'm waiting for is then they say, you are number 12 in the queue. Hang on a minute, I was number 6 and now I'm number 12. How comes? You know, it's how long have I got to wait? How long? Anyway, well, making the most... Oh, that's what I wanted to ask you. Who's just favourite seasons of the year? I think you probably can guess mine, can't you? Summer. Definitely, definitely. For me, summer is by far the best. Being out in the... anyway, you've got a gist of that. I don't need to repeat that. Who loves winter? David. Who loves spring? Yeah, so many more people love spring. And who loves summer? Their favourite month of the year, absolutely. And who loves autumn? Yeah, it's a real mix, isn't it? I've got a little survey here that was just pulled off the internet. And favourite seasons, it was done in 2021, September 2021. 22% were spring, summer 33%, 19% were autumn, 7% were winter. And my wife, Angela, is one of the 15% that has no favourite. She just likes any season because it means, oh, I get to change my wardrobe. It's fine. I don't mind. I'll do whatever is in... I just think, no, just look forward. Anyway, we'll move on because I want to just to go on to a little bit of that reading that we had. Because one of the things that really struck me as I was preparing for this was it's about learning to be content with the season that we're currently in. Because, you know, I can be in a real rush. And in 2021, because I really love gardening, it's a new thing for me, okay? So when I get involved in something new, I don't just do it a little bit, I really go for it. So anyway, I had, and because I didn't know how well they're going to grow, my little seedlings in 2021, so I had something like, I planted so many seeds because I weren't sure how many are going to come up, but they all come up, okay? I had 400 seedlings to plant in the garden. I haven't got a big garden, and so, but of course, I can't throw that one away. No, I'm not going to, I can't throw that one away. I'm sure I can find a place to put that, and so on. But before I could put them out, and Nick, I'd go and see Nick Ray quite regularly, and I'd say to him, I said, can I put my plants out yet? And he'd go, you know, no, or put, no, can't put them out yet. And this was end of March, early April. And then if you remember in April 2021, I remember it, we had a month of frosts. It was lovely during the day, but it was freezing at night. And so, of course, every day, because we're mostly working at home at the time, because I go into the little, I've got a little tilly room, it's not a greenhouse, but then take them all outside. 400 seeds, and I had to water them, take them in and every night. And as for when I planted them all, yeah, it was so full of... Plants didn't really do very well because they were so crushed and so squashed. So anyway, I haven't planted my seeds yet, and it's still, well, it's nearly the end of March. I've only got my potatoes on the go at the moment. But anyway, so, you know, we can be so rushed, but it's about waiting for the next season and being content with the season that we're in. And that's sometimes hard because, like I say, I'm so keen to get on and get my, you know, is it time? Is it time? No. Is it, no. It's just, but you've got to be ready. So anyway, I was going to mention about the tabernacle because in many respects, when we look at that, I just look at the, how big it is and how, and all those, and this is just an artist's impression, of course, because they didn't have photographs then. But if you go on to the next one, it gives you an idea of the size of the tabernacle. It's 45 foot by, or 15 metres, or 50, by 15 foot, or 4.6 metres. That's a decent-sized swimming pool, you know, for a hotel. It's quite significant, and then you've got all those bits round it. And so there's a lot going on there. And as you can imagine, there's probably people who are in charge of the tabernacle, but they've also got to look after their families, and so the whole families have got to move on as well. So all those tents around it. We'll go on to the next verse, because it was quite hard, wasn't it, really? But, and I'm looking at the NIV version, because this one was probably the clearest out of all of them. Sometimes the cloud stayed only from evening till morning, and when it lifted in the morning, they set out. Hang on a minute. Let's just go back a bit, Kathy. Sometimes it lifted in the morning and then set in the evening. You mean to say we've just set it up and now we've got to take it down again? And so then they're off and they've got to get it taken off. And not only that, they've got to get all the family together and get all the, you know, get all the kids and other bits and pieces. And then there's probably staff that are off sick or anything like that to come and move it. So, oh, we've got no one available on that, on the south end. Oh, we're right, okay, who can we have today? Who's going to fill in? And so it suddenly becomes a logistical nightmare. But we'll go on to the next one. Because it just seemed, sometimes I guess it could seem really relentless. But you couldn't move. But they'll go to the next verse. And this is the one that really got me. And I read this during my 3 months off, during the sabbatical time, March to June in 2020, as I sat there in the garden, because it was glorious, wasn't it, in 2020. But whether the cloud stayed over the tabernacle for 2 days or a month, but then read the next one, or a year. A year. You know, do you remember the lockdown period? You know, you've got Boris Johnson on the TV, you know, giving a little bit, trying to give a little bit of a plan. and you've got the Labour Party, I think it was Keir Starmer then, just saying, we need a plan, we need a plan. Can you imagine the plan that Moses, can you imagine Moses just sat there waiting, you know, or just, you know, there'll be elders coming up, you know, the tribes have had enough, you know, we don't want to be stood, you don't want to stood here all the time, we need to move on, you know, come on, we there's no good staying here all the time, you know, we need to be getting going. The cloud hasn't moved. We've got to stay put. But when? But when is it going to move? I don't know when it's going to move. The real answer is, I don't know. No idea. So whether it was for a day, which would have been a faff as far as I was concerned, or whether it was a year, which would have been, I'd have got a bit fed up by then. When, God, when? When are you going to move? God, when are you going to sell? When's this house going to sell? When is this baby going to come? By the way, my daughter, the little girl on there, Lydia, lives in Romania. My daughter lost four babies before she had this one. And so walking with her in this time, well, the toll that it took on us, I think, it's probably where I got a few more grey hairs. I was a little bit badgery a few, you know, probably a year or two ago, but it's more white now. But honestly, being pregnant, Angela being pregnant herself, you know, with our children was reasonable, but grandchildren, oh no, it's another level, isn't it? Where you just don't know what's going on. You're not in control. You're not in charge. But just, you know, just... It was always the 7 to 9 weeks was the bit where she lost a baby. You know, those days of just praying and agonizing, and then suddenly, and then you're just praying for the day when Lydia would come along, and oh, the joy and the relief, you know, of having her. But it just seemed like, when, God, when was she ever going to even give birth? When was she going to conceive and carry a baby? You know, it was just hard at that time. But when you don't know what's coming next, sometimes it can be really tricky. And I think you're in a position around about the same way, really. What's next? What's coming next? And you know that God knows what's going on. He knows the days, the times, the seasons. He knows the season that you are going in. And he's taking you into this season. And also, I just want you to know, and I believe that this was the message, that he will get you through. That you're not to fear. You're not to worry about these coming days, these coming weeks, these coming months. It could be 6 months. It could be a year, but it could be longer. But where's the cloud moving? When's it moving? When's it hovering? When's it going to go? What's going to happen? But God wants us to trust him. I'm just going to quickly move on to, I think it might even be, I'm going to go to the next one, actually. I think it's probably irrelevant on there. Because I believe that this morning, as I sent another message to Kathy with an updated version, you know this verse, I should think, who hasn't heard of this verse? You don't need to put your hand up, but who hasn't heard of this verse? Believe it. This is the verse that seemed to come to my mind this morning for you here. For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. You know, and plans to give you a hope and a future. I guess you're disappointed, you know, with the way things are panning out. But God knows the plans that he has for you. He really does. He knows the plans that he has for me. You know, there was a time when I candidated, and some of you will remember that, for the Methodist ministry. And I got turned down. Most surprisingly, people were just amazed that I got turned down. And it was really hard, and I took ages to actually come to terms with that. But yet, God knows the plans that he has for us, plans to give us a hope and plans to give us a future. If I'd have been in the Methodist ministry, maybe I definitely wouldn't be doing what I do now. And I'm so alive in what I'm doing now. Retirement, I'm not ready for retirement. It's just too exciting because God knows the plans and he wants us to trust him. We'll go to the, we'll just read the 11 and 14, 12 and 14 because I think there's a little bit of an extra bit which we often forget. We'll go to the next slide there. Then you will call on me and come to me and pray to me and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you. These are the promises. So God wants us to come to him. He wants us to seek him. He wants us to continue digging into him and not just let it happen. There's a part that we've got to play and we might have to push, we might have to pray to actually make it happen. But the God who's brought you this far isn't in the business of just letting it unfold. God loves us way too much. But he also loves us when it's really good. He also loves us too much to keep us on the mountaintop. Sometimes he brings us back down into the valley because in the valley, that's when we have to work hard and we have to push. But it's recognizing the season that we're in. It's pushing through for that breakthrough moment. I'll go to the next slide. Because this is the other one. Again, I'm not telling you anything here that you don't know. I just believe it's a word for you today. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. You know, it's easy to read that verse, isn't it? And let's say, it's probably a fridge magnet, someone on someone's fridge here. You know, because we know these verses. But really, really, sometimes it's really hard to actually live this. Trusting in the Lord with all our heart. He's never let me down in the past. You could say I've had disappointments, and I definitely would say I've had many disappointments, and yet God has worked a way through and actually got us through. But we need to trust him. Trust him with all our hearts, that he is with us, that he is for us. In all our ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. The New King James Version was really explicit on this one. Really good. A little bit better than the NIV. But, you know, if you get a chance, just look at those. Those who are making decisions, those who are praying into, you know, what happens next. Look at these verses, dig in, press in. Because God has plans for you, plans to give you a hope and a future. You need to trust him. Yes, you need to seek him. You also need to trust him in all the ways, acknowledge him. Let's pray. Father, I want to thank you, Lord God, for what you're doing in the church here. As we sat here in worship, we're just thinking the sound, just that sense of working, you know, in you, just enjoying the moment of living a life of faith and trust in you and just worshiping that whole world in your hands, Lord. You have got the whole world in your hands. You've got, and I don't know the words, but you and me and everybody else in the palm of your hands. Oh God, I thank you, Lord, you know, that it is the case, but sometimes, Lord, it's hard when we're facing a difficult situation, when we don't know what's going to happen. We don't know what's going to happen in 6 months. We don't even know what's going to happen in 3 months. And it just seems a bit lonely at times. But we pray, Lord, that you will come alongside us, that you will bring us encouragement, that, Lord, that you will strengthen us, that you will help us to believe that you have not abandoned us, and that you, Lord, will guide our paths, that every step we'll take will be ordered by you, just as you did with the Israelites in the wilderness when you said, rest a while. Lord, we pray that we will be a people that follow the cloud and go the way in which you call us to go. In Jesus' name, amen.